All right. Hey, this is Act 2 of the podcast. We're getting right back into it. If you missed Act 1, go back and listen to that thing. Otherwise, this isn't going to make any sense. Okay, see ya. But also for the ads, one way or another, Spotify is getting paid. If I don't pay for the ads and actually pay them directly, there are a lot of people who do pay for the ads. And they're charging advertisers a buttload of money so that the people that consume the product will listen to Rush Tom Sawyer and then hear a commercial for 1-800-Flowers. It's really a goddamn racket. Clown of Carnage says there are some independent artists like Tom McDonald, but he does all the videos and stuff on his own, which is a lot of work. I like the platform. The platform should stay. They should just compensate the artist the right way. So that's up to the artist to do. The artists have to figure this out and literally start from the ground up, get everybody on board, and then say, all right, we have now formed an artist union for you to have our music. And instead of giving Brian Vander Ark $200 for 5 million downloads, you're now going to pay him $400,000 for that. You'll still make money. You're just not going to make as much money. But if you don't have us, you've got nothing. So fuck you. I wonder if anybody has even thought of that. Verbal trademark. The Eric Zane Show podcast, Spotify Artists Union. The Digital Download Artists Union. And then they can do the same thing for Amazon Music. They can do the same thing for Apple Music. Who do you think is going to be the one to get in touch with all those artists to tell them, yeah, you're going to boycott Spotify and you're joining the union? And then the union will go ahead and make them pay union dues. And then we'll have a leader of the union, and it'll be like a union trust fund. And then we'll pilfer that, a pension fund, and then we'll all go to prison. Yeah, right. Okay, I want to get into this story about the football player for the Arizona Cardinals. He's running the ball down the field, and he's about to score a touchdown. We've talked about this recently, and he got to the goal line, and just before the goal line, he dropped the ball, like, to celebrate, you know? And then it was a fumble. Well, it turns out that that moment, from that point on, the Tennessee Titans started to beat their faces in. Okay, so what would have been a touchdown? Now they don't have a touchdown, and Tennessee gets the ball, and they start scoring. They eventually win the game. Well, the coach of the Cardinals hit the guy who fumbled the ball. And now all hell is breaking loose. Now, if I'm a football coach and my running back is too stupid to hang on to the football before he gets to the goal line, there should be a clause in the contract of all the players that you have to eat a punch from the coach. And it wasn't even much of a hit. It was kind of like a love tap. So this coach is super pissed off. He gets in this guy's face, and you see him, like, giving him the what for. And then he's walking away. He goes, he cuffs him. He cuffed him in the face. Okay, now this is 2025. You got to understand, this may be a big, bad football player. But these are fragile, sensitive, emotional children. One of his teammates, while he was getting yelled at, had his arm around him to snuggle him while he was getting yelled at by the coach. So a lot of people saw this moment. It was a fast right cuff when he cuffed him. And now there's blowback. This player is I haven't heard anything from the player, but the coach has had to come out and like say sorry. I remember when I was a kid watching Ohio State play Clemson, and Coach Hayes from Ohio State was pissed off because the team wasn't doing that well. And the kid from Clemson caught the ball, and he ran out of bounds, and he got tackled at the same time, and he got up to go running back to the huddle. And Coach Hayes walks up to him and grabs him by the mask and pow! Punches the kid from Clemson right in the kisser under the mask. You fucker! Bam! Oh! Holy shit. I wonder if I can get that. That's the world I want to live in. Coach Hayes punches Clemson player. Probably going to be an ad. That's okay. Let's take a look at this. After the fireball ad plays. Oh, that's way too long. By the way, that new Fireball Apple looks like a lot of people would love that. I mean, if I was a drunk, I would buy that. This is the moment.
Sleister looks at Donley. Throws it short. It's intercepted. Charlie Bauman, the middle guard, intercepted it.
Sleister looked at. So there you go. The Schlitzer probably was paid off with his gambling debts. It throws a pick right to the linebacker.
Schlitzer looks at Donley.
He doesn't even look off the receiver. What a piece of shit. This guy, he reads that all the way.
Throws it short. It's intercepted. Charlie Bauman, the middle guard.
Whammo!
Intercepted it. Schlitzer looked into the middle of the short man, and he threw it right in Bauman's hand. The first turnover.
Here's the slow-mo. Oh.
And we got a big fight going on. The officials buried in the middle.
That's the immortal Keith Jackson right there. I don't think he hurt the kid, but still, that was fantastic. I think that was the end of his career. He might have got. He had done a lot of crazy shit like that in the past, you know? There was a couple games. There was one game against Michigan that, and there's not footage of this. But he had a set of brass knuckles, and he yanked the kid's helmet off and just clocked him right in the face. The kid lost an eye. There was another moment when he didn't like the Michigan State band, so he came out of the tunnel with a bow and arrow, and he shot the drum major. He killed him right on the field. Incredible. So let's take a look at the guy fumbling the ball. All right, he's running down the field.
Short.
There he goes. He's got a touchdown.
First down, DeMarcado off to the races. 20-10. Touchdown!
I think he's celebrating.
Did he drop it early?
Look at, he has let go of the ball! Just barely.
Boy, that's going to be close.
Oh my goodness, boy. He extended it with his hand a little bit.
Did Snead's trying to say that he got the ball out? Wow.
You see him kind of put it on his fingertips, but did he have control, no. Arch, before that thing broke the plane?
Okay. The NFL is scrubbing this audio video, but this guy recorded it with his phone and posted it.
United States here. AG on the sidelines. The head coach writes in DeMarcado's face, has some words for him. Clearly not happy. Maybe he's trying to motivate him.
I guess he cuffed. It was fast, and you couldn't really see it that well. But Jonathan Gannon, it says, is the guy screaming. And there's the comment. I see it. What is up with the cuddling? The player has fucked up everything. And this, and number 70 is holding him tight, and the running back who dropped the ball is crying. Left thing cry. This running back is free beer. And the coach is just fucking kicking his ass, as he should. And yeah, here you go, take this, bitch. And then he hits him. That's great. We need more of that in the world. We need teachers doing that in the class. How about number 70? What are you doing? Come on.
Maybe he's trying to motivate him.
All right. Now, when I saw this, I was like, yes, we're back. We are so back. We're fucking back. We can go back to beating our children. This has finally taken place where my kid crashes the car. I can give him a closed fist punched in the nose. Solar system project takes place. I can give him a DDT. Red Bull Brain Chris says, doesn't that dude have a history of dropping the ball early in celebration? I don't know. I know that that has happened many times over the years with many, many different stupid athletes. Alan says, number 70 is the nose. 31 is Greg. The coach is EZ. Patrick writes, that man has paid millions of dollars to play football, not drop the ball on the one-inch line. I'm a Titans fan, but I'm pulling for them to lose because I hate the coach. When this happened, I started pulling for the Titans again. Aram says that coach does not pose a physical threat to any of his players. Alan says it was the second week in a row for that guy. So that dude's done it twice? Oh, God. What a stupid fuck. No, I am all on coach beating him. That was nothing. That was good. That needed to happen. And I think the coach should have punched him harder and punched the big guy too. He should have just kicked him in the balls right there. But no, just when you thought it was safe, we were going back to 1975 with Woody Hayes punching the dude from Clemson. The coach has come out on bended knee, hat in hand, to apologize.
I didn't see the video, David, but I woke up this morning and...
I already hate this so much. He's so calm. Oh.
Didn't feel great about it, honestly. And so in the team meeting...
Okay, so he gave in to the primal urge, the primal side of all of this, and now he's thinking better of it, and he's back to being a puss.
I addressed it. I apologized to Omari, apologized to the team. And I just told him I kind of let the moment of what happened get the better of me there.
Listen to his tone, that weak tone.
Obviously, like I try to be emotionally stable and calm because my job is to solve problems when during a game and kind of lead the charge on that. So it's not really who I am, who I want to be, and so I told the guys that today. So it's a mistake by me, and it's just like everybody in there. Everybody made some type of mistake yesterday. which is, you know, culminates to why we didn't win the game.
Oh.
And we can't let it happen moving forward.
Okay, that was bullshit. Should have said, yeah, I saw the video. I'm very proud of that. If any bitch drops the ball while they're going into the end zone again, someone else is going to get fucking killed. I'm going to kick somebody's ass and then flip the table and start throwing shit at the media. Let me get to you. Let me play for you the greatest exhibit of this. All I need to do is type Tommy Lasorda. They're all titled. You can go with the Dave Kingman rant. You can go with the Kurt Bevacqua rant. This is how coaches and managers are supposed to behave. July 1982, Dodgers pitcher Tom Niedenfuhr was fined $500, it says, for beaning Joe LeFevre of the San Diego Padres. The next day, LeFevre's teammate Kurt Bevacqua was quoted in the papers as saying, "The guy they should have fined was the guy who ordered Niedenfuhr to throw at Joe." He's referring to Tom. And that fat little Italian reporters asked Lasorda about Bevacqua's comment.
"Tell you what I think about it. I think that is very, very bad. For that man to make an accusation like that, that is terrible. I have never, ever, since I've managed, ever told a pitcher to throw at anybody, nor will I ever. And if I ever did, I certainly wouldn't make him throw at a fucking 130 hitter like LeFay or fucking Bevacqua, who couldn't hit water if he fell out of a fucking boat. And I guarantee you this, when I pitched and I was going to pitch against a fucking team that had guys on it like Bevacqua, I sent a fucking limousine to get the cocksucker to make sure he was in the motherfucking lineup, because I kicked that cocksucker's ass any fucking day in a week. He's a fucking motherfucking big mouth, I'll tell you that."
Okay. So at any given time you put a microphone in front of Tommy Lasorda's face, There's a possibility that that could happen. Let's take a listen to the Dave Kingman rant.
"Hi, it's Sofia Vergara. I'm here because I want to tell you about my new favorite thing."
Sofia gets done being beautiful and telling us about whatever the fuck she's doing. All right.
"Can you give us just a few basic comments about your feelings on the game?"
"Well, naturally, I feel bad about losing a ball game like that. There's no way you should lose that ball game. And that just doesn't make sense."
"What's your opinion of Kingman's performance?"
"What's my opinion of Kingman's performance? What the f*** do you think is my opinion of it? I think it was f***. Put that in. I don't f***. Opinion of his performance? He beat us with three home runs. What the f*** do you mean, what is my opinion of his performance? How can you ask me a question like that? What is my opinion of his performance? He hit three home runs. I'm f***ed off to lose the f***ing game. And you ask me my opinion of his performance? That's a tough question to ask me, isn't it? What is my opinion of his performance?"
"Yes, it is. I ask it, and you gave me an answer."
"Well, I didn't."
Okay, now back then, the reporters would push back like that. which is excellent.
I'll give you a good answer because I'm mad, but I mean,
that wasn't a good question.
That's a tough question to ask me right now. What is my opinion of his performance? I mean, you want me to tell you what my opinion of his performance is?
You just did.
That's right. Guy hits three home runs against us.
Okay, there's another one that I got to get. It was Tommy Lasorda on the mound. Okay, that's what it was. He was visiting Bob Welch? No. I don't know if I'm going to find it. No, this is it. Doug Rowe. Okay.
Fucking Jack, you get jammed on a fucking wall.
You're good, Tommy.
I don't give a shit. You feel good. There's four motherfucking hits up there.
They all fucking hit the opposite way.
I don't give a fuck.
He's talking to the pitcher on the mound, in case you're just listening. Tommy's going in to yank him out of the game, and the pitcher's trying to make his case to stay in the game.
You got a left hand here, I strike this motherfucker.
I don't give a shit, Dougie. Well, I may be wrong, but that's my goddamn job. I'll make the fucking decisions here. I'll make the fucking decisions here, okay?
Organ. It's in the World Series. Wow, look at that.
Like there were three runs on the fucking board yesterday.
I don't give a fuck.
Hey, Tommy,
don't give me any shit, goddammit. I'm making a fucking decision. Keep your fucking mouth shut. I told you.
He's talking to his pitcher. I don't give a fuck.
Bad up here, man. Back off the mound.
You talk about it in my fucking office.
Yeah, I wouldn't say that.
I'm just saying, talk about it inside. This is not the place to be talking about it. Okay? That's all I'm trying to say.
Obviously, the video doesn't match the audio. They're just doing that to keep the continuity as best they can.
Come on. Just trying to pour the fucking scene
on
you. That's all.
That's right. It's fucking great for you to be standing out here talking to me like that.
I
don't give a shit, Doug. I'm the fucking manager of the fucking team. I got to make the fucking decisions. And I'll make them to the fucking best of my ability. It may be the fucking wrong decision, but I'll make it. Don't worry about it. I'll make the fucking decisions. I gave you a fucking chance to walk out of here. I can't fuck around. We're down 2-1. If it was yesterday, it's a different fucking story. I don't give a shit. You got three left-hand hitters, and they all got fucking hits on you. Rivers, Jackson, and the fucking other guy. They all got left. They all hit. That guy that just hit.
Rivers, Jackson, and the other guy.
The ball was the left hander, wasn't he? I don't give a shit whether you jammed him or not. He didn't get out. I can't let you out there in a fucking game like this. I got a fucking job to do.
Yeah, that. I cannot imagine. Can you, like, if today you had a coach or a manager that's his regular. I don't give a shit. I'm making the decision. It might be the wrong decision, but I'll make that goddamn decision. Oh. Red Bull Brain Chris says, and then didn't Slim Fast decide that's the guy we needed as our spokesperson? That's true. Becca Shea says, that sounds like a great work environment. Look, I'll tell you this. Through today's lens, no. But a lot more work was done back then with that type of level-headed, no-nonsense approach in the workplace and whatever industry, baseball or building cars. Okay? You had a manager who led the workers on the line, and what you do is you treat them like shit, and then they rally around and want to, you know, it's like you're the common enemy. When Herb Brooks led the 1980 Olympic team, which was a bunch of college kids, to defeat a professional hockey team, the Russian national team, they all hated that motherfucker because it was 1980. They get done with the practice. They're barfing. And he's like, well, let's get back on. They do some more Herbies. Again. Whoop. Again. Colts, you're going to hurt them. Okay, that was great shit. If he hadn't coached those hockey players, they would have all just been raping people. As it was, they went ahead and won the gold medal, beat the Russians in the semifinal game, went on to beat fucking Sweden, and then that was that. So this coach now, he bailed on the whole thing and said he's sorry. And that's very sad to me. Very, very sad. It's unfortunate. Hello, friends. Your old pal Eric Zane with a word about ultra premium CBD gummies with real botanicals from my friends over at Secret Nature. This is like the best thing that's happened to me in a long time. I partnered with them. You can learn more at secretnature.com/Zane, and you'll also get a special deal there. But my gosh, during the daytime, I've got a daytime gummy that helps me stay focused, gives me steady lift. It's a fantastic, clean vibe within my system. Prior to Secret Nature, I found during the day that I was up and down, and I was like, what is happening to me? But ever since I started using the ultra premium CBD gummies with real botanicals from Secret Nature, those problems are in the past. And people say to me, EZ, when you're talking about this, what do you mean by a clean feeling? I'd say steady, balanced, not overpowering. I just get more done and feel better throughout the day. Probably because Secret Nature is organic, farm-grown, never lab-made. Ultra-premium CBD gummies with real botanicals. Nothing extra. The best in the business. Bliss is what I use during the day for clear focus and productive flow. I want to wind down? Snoozers. Unwind and rest at the end of the day. Consistent, measured CBD per gummy, so there's no guessing. Intentional formulations that feel clean and slot naturally into your routine. Now, this is where you try it. Get 30% off your first order at secretnature.com with code Zane. That's secretnature.com, code Zane. Try Bliss during the day, snoozers in the evening, and let me know how it goes. Again, 30% off your first order at secretnature.com with code Zane. secretnature.com, code Zane. Secret Nature. Hey, it's Eric Zane, and uncommongoods.com is a great place to shop for the holidays. I just picked up a Himalayan salt barbecue plank. It's a square, 8 inches by 8 inches, inch and a half thick, made of Himalayan salt. You put it on the grill and your veggies on top of the Himalayan salt barbecue plank. Oh my gosh, what a way to season the veggies with the Himalayan salt barbecue plank. Just one of the thousands of items for sale for everyone at uncommongoods.com. I love that when you're shopping for Christmas gifts at uncommongoods.com, you've got stuff for readers, for nerds, for travelers, for foodies, sports fans, for music lovers. Everything under the sun can be found at uncommongoods.com. The kids are like, Dad, what do you want for Christmas? And I go, well, just go to uncommongoods.com and find something that you know I'll like. And you can do the same thing. And I've got a special deal for you. Make this holiday the year you give something truly unforgettable. To get 15% off your next gift, go to uncommongoods.com/Zane. That's uncommongoods.com/Zane. You'll get 15% off. Don't miss out on this limited time offer. Uncommon Goods, we're all out of the ordinary. All right. Megan says Coach Brian could never. Now, Megan's beloved husband is Brian. Nice guy, by the way. Really nice guy. He coaches the kids' baseball team. And, you know, that's a, you have to have a whole skill set to do this with young people. You know, if there's any type of, like when I am in the classroom teaching young people, I have to be very aware of my surroundings. If any bit of Eric Zane manifests in that classroom, hell, in a lot of cases, if even Eric Zaitunian is there, they're all going to weep. And then I'll get fired, or there'll be a story. It would be a story in the newspaper or the online, whatever, MLive. It'll say Aquinas teacher under fire for getting frustrated. Eric Zane, a.k.a. Eric Zaitunian, a.k.a. Professor Eric, is being canceled because he said, come on, guys, I gave you the study guide. Students wept and immediately held a candlelight vigil and protested. And they burnt down all of the academic buildings over Eric Zane saying, come on, guys, I gave you the study guide. I mean, that's how it is. So I would imagine that Brian has to be very, very careful with young people. As I understand it, at any level of baseball now, if a player hits a home run, the other players, while he's rounding the bases, they like feel bad because they didn't get the home run. So while he's coming home, the guy who hit the home run, the other players are crying. And now all of the other teammates, they individually get to run around the bases too. So if there's like 15 kids on the team, one kid hits a home run. And then the next kid stands up to the plate. And then the coach will throw the ball over the fence. And then the kid gets to run around the bases. Kid throws the ball, and that you do that. Each game takes about 30 hours because of these moments. Yeah, I couldn't do that. And then all the parents, as the kids are running around the bases, they have to go, yeah! Woo! Yay! And then they're given like candy and pizza. There's a big party on the field to celebrate the home run. And then the other team, so that they don't feel bad, there's a couple of bounce houses out in foul territory. And to accept this trauma, the children play in the bounce house. Okay, then the game can resume. Let's see. Nick had a comment. Not Nick. Patrick had a comment that I wanted to read. Easy logic. A lot of people were not raped because of abusive coaches. Megan says, I have to replay this Little League rant for Brian. He'll think that's funny. Hey, if I can make Brian, Mrs. or Mr. Megan laugh, to me that's a win. Brad Bull Brain Chris says, and you have to apologize to every player that you pass as you round the bases if you hit the home run. Yeah, I can see that happening. All right. I'm going to take a quick break. It's time to go tinkle. You guys stay right there because I got more to talk about. Plenty more to talk about. I'll be right back. Ah, damn. I didn't loop the music. That's always embarrassing. Nick with a great question. Hey, how's the book club going? Not good. This weekend, I might be able to get some reading in. Hell, I should just try to get some reading in anyway. Most days, but it's been kind of a rocket ride of busyness, in particular with the last several days being with Dad and Joanne. And yesterday being class day, and I just came home and went to bed. My God. Okay, but yeah, definitely need to. We are reading a song called Blades of reading a book called Blades of Steel by Drew Carrier. Drew Carrier. Walk in the shadows. The shadows will walk. by Benny Blades. And I read the first like 10 pages. Some dude is crawling around underneath a fucking bar. And it's all, he's looking for like gold coins because he's poor as shit. And the drunkards in the bar, they drop their goddamn coins and they fall through the cracks and wind up in the mud. So this fucker is crawling around and then he finds a couple and then there's a murder. Some other asshole is there and then some other dude is there and the one guy cuts him in half with a sword. Then a bunch of other dudes run in and the guy, he kills them too. And so the shithead who's underneath the floorboards getting the money, he knows, he's like looking up to the floorboards. He can see all this shit happening. He thinks everybody's dead, but they're not. And then he's trying to like army crawl out from underneath this thing. And then while he's crawling out, a sword comes right in front of him and stops his path. So the guy above him in the goddamn bar is fine, and he has slammed the sword down through the wood right in front of this dude's face. And then the guy who has, you know, did that, he says, if you say anything to anybody about this, I'm going to cut your dick off. And then that was it. And while that was happening, there was a spider on that guy when he was... And it was like a deadly spider. Anyway, that's all. That's as far as I got on the damn thing. Way of Shadows by Tommy Heinsohn. Nick says, yeah, that's a good recap of the first pages. I liked it. I just haven't had time to get into it. But I will. I promise you. Okay. Where are we going to go now? What can I talk about that I want to talk about? There's a lot of things, different things that I can focus on. All right, this is kind of fun. Rob Gronkowski was on the one of these shows covering the football games. He got thrown off by the name of a receiver for the Tampa Bay Buccaneers, Amika Ibuka. Gronkowski, in truly Gronkowski way, murders the guy's name.
But Baker Mayfield also did it without his number one wide receiver Mike Evans, and you got to give credit to this rookie sensation wide receiver out of Ohio State, Amika Ibuka, going for over 100 yards. Amika Ibuka. I'm getting confused.
There you
going
go.
Lights out once again. But Baker Mayfield also did it without his number one wide receiver Mike Evans, and you got to give credit to this rookie sensation wide receiver out of Ohio State, Amika Ibuka, going for over 100 yards. Amika Ibuka. I'm getting confused.
I think that seems fake to me. That seems like he did know how to say it right, and he just intentionally fucked it up for the laugh. That's my theory. This is Mark Sanchez. This is the guy, by the way, how about the ears on butt fumble here? God damn. He was the guy I was telling you about yesterday who was in the back of the hotel, in the hotel alley, the Westin. And there was a guy there, a worker, who had his truck parked in the alley, and he wanted him to move the truck. And the guy was like, what the fuck? And this guy was all shit-faced. And then he ended up, butt fumble, ended up attacking the old man and beat him up badly. In the process, the old man was able to stab butt fumble several times. With what? I don't know. If it was a knife or if he found a sharp something on the ground and by the dumpster, I don't know. And badly injured him. They're both fucked up. They both are in the hospital. They looked at the cameras. The cops talked to the old timer, and they revealed the information revealed that he, this guy, Butt Fumble, was the belligerent, the one who started it all, and he was arrested. And now what started out as a misdemeanor, now they've added a felony charge. Mark Sanchez, Butt Fumble, faces a level 5 felony battery charge. It carries a 1 to 6 year prison sentence. He just looks like a fuck. You might be like, EZ, why do they call him Butt Fumble? Well, they don't. I just do. Because before this weekend, the only thing Butt Fumble was known for was the Butt Fumble. He got the ball hiked to him when he played for the Jets. And then he went running. And then, for some reason, his body, his face hit the ass of like some big dude in front of him, his own player. And it knocked him out. And then the ball went flying. He fumbled it when he hit the guy's butt. So he's known forever as Butt Fumble. And he's an analyst, an NFL analyst for Fox Television. You know, on the studio show, kind of like Rob Gronkowski, he does that. But when it comes to playing football, he was one of the shittiest players at quarterback that has ever played football. He stunk. I don't know why it is that the shitty quarterbacks make good NFL analysts. I'm assuming he's a good NFL analyst. There's another asshole named Dan Orlovsky. And this guy was terrible too. He played for the Lions. And, oh, boy, I just remember some really ugly things. There was one moment when he got the ball. And he was near the out of bounds, his own end zone. And if you run out of that, the play is over. It's a safety. Your team gives up 2 points. Like the other team gets 2 points. And he had no idea where he was on the field. He got the ball and just ran. He ran out of the end zone. And he's standing back there getting ready to throw it. And there's a photographer next to him. And then he runs over, and there's, you know, those guys that pull the nets up? He's, like, dodging that guy, and he goes to throw it, and that guy's there. So he runs around the net. He goes into the stands. And then he's standing next to some guy with his nachos, and he realizes that he is not in the field of play. Kuiper says he can't be that bad. He did make 2 AFC championship games. Who did? Dan Orlovsky or Butt Fumble? Yeah, I don't recall that. I maintain that the average person either doesn't know who that is or only knows him from the Butt Fumble. That's probably erroneous information by Kuipers. He doesn't know what the fuck he's talking about half the time. All right, this is the Butt Fumble. He's playing for the green team in this video. That's the Jets. They're playing against the Patriots. Keep an eye on the quarterback. That's Butt Fumble right there.
More than in Indianapolis, the offensive coordinator. You got a busted play here. And then, Sanchez gets hit. The ball is loose and it's alive.
I have never seen this before in my life. Watch this. Vince Wilfork is going to throw Brandon Moore back into his quarterback. He's going to fumble the football. This is what Reggie White used to do to people. Forklift them and just lift them off the ground. Mark Sanchez not expecting it, and it was the backside of Brandon Moore.
He didn't expect it. He ran right into the guy's asshole. This is the Dan Orlovsky play where he ran out of the back of his end zone. Brandon just says, easy, I gave you the pop-up blocker. I know. I just don't do things. I like Starbucks to get the advertising.
The big-time players need to help this guy out. Roy Williams.
Orlovsky is this dickhead right here.
Calvin Johnson, two of their biggest players.
Third and 10. Here comes Jared Allen, and he's out of bounds. Poor guy. I don't even know if he realized it.
Poor guy. I don't even know if he realized it.
And that's a safety.
Well,
what
so much for
dick.
Me calling him savvy because he had no idea.
So much for him, me calling him savvy.
Yeah, where he's on the field. Tough situation, but you just can't do that. You have to realize, and you can see him, he didn't even know he was out of bounds. Tough situation for a young
asshole
quarterback. But you always got to be aware, Ron, of the situation.
Okay. Well, he has gone on to become like a very respected sports guy, that idiot. Dano is here. I think I saw Dano here. Somebody, I forget which one of you said that you like Dan Orlovsky. Yeah, he might be, Allen. I like Dano, Vikings fan. He's horrible. He was a horrible player. But what is it with horrible players becoming NFL analysts? All right. Patrick says Orlovsky could have been one of the greats. He just needed an offensive line. Yeah, right. I don't think so. I bring this up because the guy now who got stabbed by butt fumble, he's in very bad shape. He is very, very badly hurt. And it's going to be a long recovery for him. I saw an image of him with the neck brace on and his face is completely swollen and black and blue. He has already filed suit, as he should. He, 69-year-old Perry Toll, T-O-L-E, Toll, has sued Mark Sanchez and his boss, Fox Television, for injuries arising from the incident that happened early Saturday in Indianapolis, where Sanchez was preparing to call the Raiders-Colts game for Fox. So I didn't know he was a color analyst. He might wind up on Compass Media one day. Excuse me. Oh, boy. The claims against Sanchez will be direct and clear. Assault, battery, and possibly other related legal theories arising from the things Sanchez allegedly did during the altercation. The claims against Fox are based on legal theories of negligent hiring, negligent retention, and negligent supervision, with a specific allegation that Sanchez has a propensity for drinking and or harmful conduct. Well, I think that the one against Fox sounds frivolous at best. The idea that Fox is negligent in hiring a guy because they didn't know, they didn't do their diligence to try to find out that this guy's a psychopath. And how the fuck are they going to know that? You're suggesting that you're aware of, or you haven't done your due diligence to find out that he is a psychopath? That sounds like a bunch of bullshit to me. Toll contends that he suffered severe permanent disfigurement, loss of function, other physical injuries. He's right. I think there's pictures somewhere around here. They might have yanked him down. Let's see, graphic images. This is the old timer that he beat up, badly cut in the face. And that's what the old, this 69-year-old man who got beat up by 39-year-old former pro athlete. And, you know, outside of like Doug Flutie, quarterbacks are always big, strong guys. So that 39-year-old dude probably physically able to dominate a 69-year-old man, no doubt. Maureen says Fox has deeper pockets than Sanchez. Yeah, maybe the idea there is I want to get some money and maybe they'll settle. Badger says I'd trade all that for a big payday. Face scars are cool. Yeah, you know, honestly, if this guy took a beating for from butt fumble like that and he winds up with, I don't know, what do you think that's worth? If you're Fox with, like Maureen says, big pockets, Fox can say, you know, you're right. We're going to make you feel better. Here's $10 million. And Sanchez, whatever he's worth, I don't know if he turns that into his insurance company or what when you get sued for that. Or if he's on the hook, he can't be worth all that much. I mean, I don't know, maybe he saved his money when he was playing shitty football. All right. Anyway, that's the latest with butt fumble. Your Tigers play at 4 o'clock. Hopefully they will win. Go Tigers. Looking forward to doing the Patreon bonus podcast with you in a little bit later on. Make sure you join me for that. Make sure you join me with Christian Blatt. When we do Who Are These Broadcasters, it'll be a great time as always. The Mario Flores Lakeshore team invites you to reach out to them. Buy now, refinance later. Get your mortgage by calling 231-332-6505. Rates are going down. That's a good thing. It's about damn time. 231-332-6505 for the Mario Flores Lakeshore team of Van Dyke Mortgage. Frank Fuss, he can help you get situated with your health care through healthcare.gov. Reach out at buyinsurancehere.com. That is buyinsurancehere.com. I got a guy who'll take down your trees for you. That's right. The pros at Kuiper Tree Care at 616-828-8225. That's 616-828-8225 for Kuiper Tree Care. And then finally, my friends at Pinball Land, we have to get together and do another pinball orgy. If you are in West Michigan, reach out or go to Pinball Land. You can find more information over at pinball-land.com. If you go there, this retro gaming facility, you're going to pay $9 for an hour, unlimited play, $15 for 2 hours, $20 for the whole day at Pinball Land. Online at pinball-land.com. Cole says, asshole of the day, Jim Valvano. Badger says, who are these broadcasters? Screen name today should be Butt Fumble. Not a bad idea. I think I'll do that. Your asshole today is the coach for the Arizona Cardinals, Jonathan Gannon, for apologizing to everybody for being an excellent coach and hitting that idiot who fumbled the ball for the second time as he crossed the goal line. That is all the time I have for you on this podcast. Thank you again for being part of it. And I'll join you on Patreon a little later on. Till then, thank you, folks. Bye-bye.